Romans chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all sinned, for before the law was given, sin was in the world. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of the one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The passage that we have read together this evening, these verses in Romans chapter 5, are verses that indeed in my Bible carry the paragraph title, Death Through Adam, Life Through Christ. And these verses contain a contrast. Indeed, they contain quite a number of contrasts. The contrast at the beginning, death and life. The passage begins by speaking of how death entered the world, how death became part of human experience. The Bible tells us, and many of us, of course, will know, that there in that garden where God had created all things and created Adam and Eve, the evil one brought temptation. God was disobeyed. God, who had made good provision, made all the provision that was necessary for everything that Adam and Eve could ever need. Yet still, sin entered the world. A little phrase that you have heard me use before, a phrase that comes from getting on for 300 years ago. A little phrase, a phrase that children would learn as they were learning to write, and learn to write by copying out one word after another. That little phrase in the very first school book published and printed in the colonies in the United States of America, the little line that said, "In Adam's fall, we fell all." How could someone who lived so long ago, how could one man's sin bring death to all? Because he was the man who God created. He was the man who God placed within the garden along with Eve. He was, as it were, the head and the source of all men who would follow him. There are times when the Bible doesn't necessarily explain every question we might ask. It simply states the fact. And we read that. The reason death came to all men was because sin entered through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men because all sinned. It became part of our nature. So often you'll hear people say, oh, well, something like that, that's just human nature. But it's fallen human nature. It's the nature that we got from Adam. But not only do these verses tell us of how death became part of the human experience, death that has touched us all, death that has touched us in the loss of loved ones. I was reading recently and listening to someone who many would have thought had lived a charmed life and lived in high society with great wealth. And someone said to him, how can you possibly understand what life is like for ordinary people? Have you ever actually lost anything? And this person turned to the person and said, have you ever lost a child? Have you ever lost a child? He had. He and his wife had. He knew that pain that death brings, whether it's a child, whether it's a parent, whether it's a sibling or a friend. Why did death come into this world? Because just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, death came to all men. Well, we're not simply here this evening to speak about death. Because a little bit further on in our reading, we read these wonderful words. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Do you hear what Paul is saying to us here? He's saying, bad and awful though death is, and how that has affected so many, how much more has God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflowed to the many? You will have heard it said, if you haven't even said it yourself, in the face of so much suffering, where is God? God's grace, friends, not only meets our suffering in the place of suffering, but the Word of God tells us that that grace and that life is even more than that which man's trespass and sin has brought. You see, Paul continues in his expert way he had of laying out arguments. He said, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment of God followed one sin and brought condemnation. But the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. And Paul's absolutely right. That judgment from God, which was death, was as the result of one sin. It was the first sin, but it was one sin. But Paul says, the gift that God has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ brings justification, and that comes after many trespasses. I've never forgotten, indeed I was reminded of it only on Friday afternoon as I was sitting chatting with some people, of that occasion which I think I will always remember. An occasion sitting beside a dear man who has been with the Lord now for many years. And as I've described this gentleman, a man called Hugh Ferrier, I would describe Hugh as a man who you would simply look at him and holiness exuded from every pore in his body. And sitting beside him in a meeting where a preacher had just spoken for more than an hour on one verse, Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. At the end of that message, which brought to our hearts the wonderful thing that God had done for us, so undeserved in Christ Jesus, that old man turned to me and in a strong Highland accent, which I mimic simply because it helps remind me of him. He turned to me and said, "All my iniquities on him were laid, and they are many. They are many." At that time in the Highlands, I'm sure if you spoke to someone and said, if you think of a godly man whose name comes to mind, and I'm sure many of them would have said the name Hugh Ferrier. But there he was. All my iniquities on him were laid, and they are many. But as Paul says to us here, the gift followed many trespasses. All of your sins, all of my sins, all of your sins. And what did the gift bring? The gift brought justification. That word that we sometimes have to unpack to really get at its meaning. But it's enough to simply remember that it means to be declared righteous. Not a declaration that you can ever make, as I've reminded you often, the closest we can ever come to righteousness on our own strength is self-righteousness. And that doesn't cut it with us, and it doesn't cut it with God either. But his righteousness, to be declared righteous. And that's the gift that God has given you. That's the gift that God has given me in Christ Jesus. For if by the trespass of the one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? You know, that's the verse that I really wanted to focus on this evening. I've probably spent too long in what is nothing more than the preamble to get us to verse 17. That's the verse that I want us to focus on. Especially the second half that says, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. There are two gifts here. Two gifts. And I want you to see them. The first is God's abundant provision of grace. Notice it doesn't simply say God's provision of grace. God's abundant provision of grace. What is grace? Grace is that beautiful and wonderful aspect of God's character and His relating towards us by which He does not treat us as our sins deserve. We've often heard it put this way: God's mercy not giving us what we deserve. God's grace giving us what we don't deserve. And as those who are descended from Adam and were born with his nature, you know, sometimes when a child misbehaves, a parent will turn to the others round about and say, "Well, I wonder who he got that from." Usually if the mum's saying it, she's implying they got it from the dad, or if it's the dad implying vice versa. But friends, the reality is that every part of our sinful nature can have its origin traced right back to Adam. Right back to Adam. But how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace? That grace, friends, that sense in which God gives us what we don't deserve, what as sinners we could never deserve or merit. God gives us that grace. He abides it and abides it abundantly. Abundantly. What does the word abundant mean to Paul? It means more than we could ever need. Always enough. Always enough. One of my favorite hymns, but it's a hymn that we tend not to find in British hymn books. It's more likely to be found in American hymn books. It's a hymn called "Wonderful Grace of Our Loving Lord." Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. And has the wonderful refrain: "Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin." And that's the reality of God's grace, friends. What Paul is saying here is that the grace of God, His abundant provision of grace, is grace that is greater than all our sins. Grace that is greater than your sins. Grace that is greater than my sins. Grace that is greater than all the sins of all His people. No one can ever turn to God and say, "I know your word says come. I know your word says that you are a God who is forgiving. I know your word says that Jesus died on the cross so that sins can be forgiven. I know all that, but if you knew what I have done, that forgiveness could never extend to me." Oh, it can. It can, and it will. Because that forgiveness will extend to all who turn from their sin and look to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Not only is this grace abundant, but also there's another gift in verse 17. The gift of righteousness. The gift of righteousness. What a gift that is. What is this gift? It is the gift that enables men like me and you, women like those gathered here, the gift that enables us to stand before a holy God and of Him look upon us and declare us to be righteous. A wee chorus I learned when I was younger sums it up pretty well. I am covered over with the robe of righteousness that Jesus gives to me. I am covered over in the precious blood of Jesus, and He lives in me. Oh, what joy it is to know my Heavenly Father loves me so and cares for me. And here's the line I want you to remember. When He looks at me, He sees not what I used to be. but he sees Jesus. And that's what the gift of righteousness means. When he looks at us, he sees Jesus. The gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, friends, as we come to the table this evening, as we come to the table, have you received these gifts? Oh, I know much is made and has been made over the years of spiritual gifts and what gifts is God giving and what gifts were for then and what gifts are for now. Friends, can I say to you with all certainty and clarity of heart, there are two gifts that are for right now. And they are the gifts that we read of here. Despite all the other gifts, and we can talk about them, there are two gifts that we need to know we have received this evening from God. The gift of his abundant grace. And the gift of righteousness in Christ. To receive those gifts transforms lives in ways that no earthly gift can ever transform. When a young man places a ring, or has happened on Wednesday afternoon, a not-so-young man places a ring upon a woman's finger and vice versa. The gift of a ring is exchanged and two become one, and so much is given and so much is received. But when the gift of God is received into a heart, a marriage changes a life. But this gift changes eternity, changes our eternal destiny as we receive this gift that God offers. Ask you, friends, as we come to this table, have you received these gifts? Abundant grace, greater than all your sin. Righteousness, a declaration that comes from the very throne of God in heaven that declares you to be righteous and in right standing before God. These are the gifts that God offers. These are the gifts that God extends. Grace might reign, verse 21, through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Why do we come to this table week in, week out? We come to this table lest we forget Gethsemane. Lest we forget his agony. Lest we forget his love for us. Lead me to Calvary.